Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text for this morning's meditation is the reading just read, especially the following words. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. Amen. The funny thing about a golden age is that people who live in it don't seem to realize it. You can do, as Dr. Rast has often done, go through all of the history of all of these ages and discover that in the midst of them, people complained about all kinds of things. They were worried about who was going to come and take away our independence. They worried about whether the world was really going to come just around the corner. The Jehovah Witnesses periodically reminded us that the end of the world was in 1914, 1928, 1974, and so on. Even when God has blessed a generation more than any other generation in the history of the world, all that people seem to do is to focus on what they don't have and to complain about it. Our nation today is blessed as no other nation in history. Yet you can see how well people respect that. We have protesters in the street complaining about this, that, and the other thing. Endless debates about who has a job and who does not and who is paying enough money in taxes and so on. You'd think that this was the Great Depression, which assuredly it is not. You sometimes, in the midst of that, even when the church gives and cares for people and expresses great compassion to individuals, helps to pick up the pieces after one tornado or hurricane or tidal wave or earthquake or economic disaster after another, and all they get is, well, I really want more than that. You're tempted to say, you know, maybe I just won't give it to you in the first place. Then maybe you'll realize that I am actually being very good to you after all. And the latter point, you can't really dispute all that much. Because after all, the Christian church, and especially the American church, gives and gives and gives and gives. And what thanks do we get, we sometimes realize? Not a whole lot often. And some of the people that come to our door begging for aid, when given that aid, do something with it to wither it away and come right back asking for more. What in God's name should we do about that? Well, when you think about it, God already tells us, because God himself cares for the good and the evil, the rich and the poor. The sun rises and the sun sets. It does rain from time to time. The crops grow, and yet God does not receive more than very many thanks for all of it. And so while we're tempted to be like Captain John Smith, no relation, the founder of the Virginia colony, and quote our passage and say, he who does not work does not eat, we understand what God really wants us to do. After all, God gives us many blessings ourselves and wants us to freely give of them to those that need. It's why Concordia Theological Seminary exists, to form servants in Jesus Christ who, ellipsis here, care for all. God calls us to do good, not only as, you know, kind of a sideshow or as a result of some obscure theological point like we were saved by grace through faith and God wants us to share that, but because it is a part of who God is himself. God announces himself in full regal title to Moses with such grand and glorious accomplishments as, I am the God of the weak and the dispossessed. I am the God of the orphan and the widow. I am he who cares for those who are in need. And as you hear him speak from prophet to prophet throughout the Old Testament, while he does call an attention to the adultery that this nation has played by chasing after other gods, it is not long before he recites a litany of the things they did not do to care for the hungry and those in need among the list of them. It is no sideshow that God is calling us to when he is calling us to compassion and mercy, because it is, after all, who God is himself, to be full of love and care and compassion and mercy. And so when he calls us, how do we respond? Most of the time, thank God, Christians respond quite well. The Lord has really blessed the world and the church through loving and compassionate people who have given of themselves until there was nothing left to give and then given more, age to age, year to year. Most pastors that I know are ready and willing to give of their time and their money and their personal possessions when there are people in need. And so we do respond well. But then inevitably, something happens, and people in their sinful nature, rather than responding in gratitude, take advantage of the kindness and the love and the compassion which are given by pastors and deaconesses and people in the parish of time and time. I remember from my vicarage, this is where everybody runs and hides, I'm quoting something from vicarage, there was a very convincing couple who sounded like they really needed help to get them over a few months, because they had lost their job just recently, and there was all kinds of needs, and they seemed rather humble people. And so I went with one of the members of the congregation to deliver some aid, and we discovered that there was a pantry on the side that was stocked with all kinds of boxes of food, so forth, very orderly arranged. It turned out that they had been visiting all of the Lutheran parishes in the area. Milwaukee now has a central clearinghouse for such kinds of mercy. But you see that and you go, you know, why bother? Why bother if people are going to do that and to take advantage of what you have given them and sometimes live better than you do? Why bother? The reason is that God bothers. Jesus himself never tires of doing good for us. He gave us everything we had. Luther recites it at great length in the explanation to the first article. And he did not stop there when we did not return all of the thanks and the glory and the praise that is due to him for all of these things that he has given us. Even after God made the world and knew what was going to happen in that world, that very promptly human beings were going to turn their back on him and walk away, and even when he knew all there is to know about you, that you would be born in sin and that you would live a life filled not only with the grace that he would give you, but also with sin. Even still, he left his throne in glory to walk a life on earth. He came and lived a life that we should have lived, absolutely perfect in obedience to God in all ways, even ways that as a sinless person he did not have to trod, yet he did. And when he walked in this world and saw need and grinding poverty and hurt and disease and sickness and grief and death, in every case he reached out and healed and comforted and cared for people, even when it physically exhausted him so much that he needed to withdraw. still he cared some more and healed some more and cast out demons. And even better than that, went with all of our ungratefulness, all of our desire to have everything for ourselves, all of the things that he despises, he took with him and went to the cross and there died in our place to have those removed from us. For our life, he gave his life. For our eternal and just death, he gave his eternal life. And when he rose again from the grave, he brought us with him too, so that we might live with him forever and have all that he has in heaven and on earth and in the future. All these things he did for us, even without our thanks. Now he is here with us and in our lives, helping us to live the way he wishes that we would live. He lives in our hearts so that you know we really do want to care for others. We really do want to continue to do what is necessary for them, and gives us the strength and the wisdom to do it. And when the day comes when our job really is done, and all that we can give has been given, and all that we could strengthen has been strengthened, he will come and bring us to be with him forever, where there will be no more need or want, sorrow, sighing, grief, or pain, for it will have all passed away because he had made all things new. In the meantime, brothers and sisters, God calls on us and encourages us to continue to do good, especially to those in the house of God, but also to those who are without help and need and recourse, even in our generous society, so that through what we do, they may be strengthened and called by his word to eternal life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, fill our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.